Hi out there. This is Heather Vickery, and thanks so much for tuning in to the Brave Files podcast. As many of you already know, giving back is crucial for a healthy community. Today's guest is an inspiring mentor and activist. Dr. Obana Bowden is a dentist who was born and bred in the Inglewood neighborhood, which is on the west side of Chicago. As a young child, his mother had a traumatic experience at the dentist and refused to ever see a dentist again unless he himself became one. And guess what? He did. Now Obana takes his dental practice on the road to support children who have little access to healthcare, especially oral health, with his mobile dental office. He also serves as a mentor for young Black people who want to become dentists. Obana shares his heartwarming story, and he reminds us that to be a good leader and mentor, we must always be learning and growing, and that inspiring and motivating others is another way to achieve self-fulfillment. This is a really, really wonderful episode. I hope you will join us and learn so much about how he is changing one small community and how you can be part of changing communities as well. But before we start the episode, I have a question for you. Have you ever thought, you know, I should start a podcast? Well, if you have, then I invite you to join me and several other podcasting experts on June 18th at 9 a.m. Central for a free live webinar on why this is a great time to start a podcast and how you can get started. Visit podcastpoweracademy.com to register. We will link in the show notes as well. We want to get your voice heard. The podcast world has been waiting for you. All right, now here's the show.
Inspirational, humility, and loving.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Brave Files. This is Heather Vickery, and I'm so happy to have you here with us today. You know, if you listen to the show regularly, you're already familiar with the fact that sometimes bravery comes in many different forms. For some people, it's simply getting out of bed in the morning. And for others, it's doing things like going to the doctor or the dentist. Well, today's guest embraces bravery by bringing the dentist to underprivileged children throughout the Chicagoland area. I've really been looking forward to this. I'm so inspired by the work that Dr. Obana Bowden has been doing. He's created a mobile dentistry service that travels to daycares in underserved communities throughout the city and suburbs. And this provides exams, cleanings, and screenings, all free of charge. Obana, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me, Heather.
Yeah, very excited to have you. I think that what you do is super cool, but let's give people some background information on who you are and how you got into doing this kind of work in the first place. So are you Chicago born and raised?
Yes, I am Chicago born and raised. I grew up in a neighborhood by the name of Inglewood.
I'm familiar with Inglewood, yeah.
Yes, it's one of those neighborhoods where most people don't make it out. Fortunately for me, I had a good set of parents, not a whole lot of money, but a whole lot of love.
Yeah, I love that. So we're familiar with Inglewood here on the show because we've done a couple of interviews with folks from iGrow Chicago. Do you do some work with them?
I do work with a lot of work with Shy Gives Back.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry, didn't mean to distract you there. Well, we'll have to talk more about iGrow if you're not in touch with them. They do some pretty great thing. So we'll fill you in on that. All right. So you had not a lot of money, but a lot of love. I have a theory. I'm curious to hear what you think of this. My theory is that to reach any level of success, and whether that means, you know, you're a celebrity or simply you get out of a life that you may have thought was preordained for you, you have to have at least one person really believe in you and love you.
Yes.
That's my theory. It doesn't have to be a parent or a family member, but somebody has to really, really show you some love and attention.
That is 150% true.
Yeah. I feel that.
Heartily. It's just all the time, even my mentees, some of them, their parents don't understand the steps and where they're headed. So they show them a little love, but they can be not as motivational or believe in them as much as someone outside the family who's showing them a huge amount of love to take them to the next level. So you have to have a lot of love in your life in general in order to become functional and in order to achieve your dreams.
I love that. And I love, it's on my list to ask you about it a little bit later, but I love that you have taken on mentoring because it's such an impactful thing for everyone involved, not just for those being mentored, but also for those of us that do the mentoring. It's a circular gift, I think. So at what point in your life did you think, how about dentistry?
It was a couple points in my life where I thought about, I want to be a dentist. The first point in my life was when my mom came home from the dentist, terrified.
And she, yeah.
I'm never going back to the dentist. I said, Mom, you have to go back to the dentist. Everyone needs their teeth. I'm not going back unless you become the dentist.
So your mom just decided for you.
So my mother said that, it always stuck in my brain. So it was always on the top of my list, even as a child, of an occupation or a profession that I would enter. And then growing up in Inglewood and going to school with the lower socioeconomic community that I lived in, these kids used to have toothaches all the time and hold their mouth. And the teacher used to tell them just put their head down. And that was pretty disturbing to me, because to me, if you're having pain, even at that age, you going to sleep is not going to cure the pain that's in your teeth. So that could have been a reason why a child is not performing well in school, but something had to give. And so I began to ask my parents questions, and I found out at that particular time, it was access to care issues.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of dentists in our neighborhood. A lot of the kids didn't have insurance. The families didn't have insurance. So in my viewpoint, I think healthcare is a right.
Absolutely.
Necessity that you must have in order to live a functional, fulfilling life.
I couldn't agree more. Yes, absolutely. And I come from a tremendous place of privilege, and I'm the first one to admit that. But as an entrepreneur, my healthcare coverage isn't great. I pay a lot of money for really subpar insurance, but I feel still lucky that I even have access to that. But I don't go to the doc. I do go to the dentist, but I don't go to the doctor very often because it costs me too much money out of pocket to go to the doctor.
Yes, I think we have to do a better job just in society in general with how we treat and look at healthcare. I think it's too profit driven, and we put so much money in wars and building all type of bombs and warships, and we can't even give the basic to some of the citizens in the country. And that's kind of disturbing to me. So that's helped me with my journey to give back to the community, give back to these kids, teaching these kids how to take care of their teeth, teaching the daycares, the parents, so that they don't have these issues when it comes to their teeth, because dental caries, cavities, is a preventable disease. So that's why I start off so young, trying to reach them before they experience this.
I really love that. I talk to my kids. They're like, I don't understand why we have to go to the dentist, and why I don't. People are afraid of the dentist for no reason. Like I've never told them it's bad or any of that, but somehow it's just something that they instinctually fear. Can you share with everybody? I love that you said, you know, that kind of pain distracts from everything else. It gets in the way from other levels of growth. But beyond that, what kind of additional health benefits are truly impacted by taking good care of your teeth?
A lot of health benefits, whether it's psychological or just physical health in general. One of the things that everyone should understand, the first thing you do when you see someone and you see their face and they smile, you're looking at their teeth. So whether you're a judgmental person or non-judgmental, you're still like, oh, look at their teeth. So they have a more of an inviting smile, you're inviting them in. Psychologically, they're more stable because they understand they have an inviting smile. They have a better chance. They're not having these issues. From a mental health standpoint, you need your smile. From a physical standpoint, there are a variety of diseases. The new current research is showing that's linked to gum disease, such as if you have gum disease, you're three times more likely to have a stroke. The same bacteria that's found in gum disease is found at the stroke site and these plaques when
they cease.
So that's letting you know the same bacteria that's causing inflammation in your mouth could cause inflammation in your body, and you don't want that. If you're a diabetic, it's harder to control your blood sugar if you have gum disease. It's so many health benefits to having just good oral hygiene.
Absolutely. And so did you always know that once you went through dental school that you wanted to work in your community? What led you to you are an actual practicing, you don't just do the mobile dentistry, right? You do have a dental practice as well.
Yeah. So I do the mobile dentistry. I do it before I go into private practice. So normally we do it in the morning for between 2 and 3 hours in the morning before I start my day. So with me, I started off in public health dentistry because I grew up in Inglewood, and my dad, he was a staple in Inglewood. My dad had a homework center in our house to make sure that those kids were getting the extra education, extra tutoring needed in order to get to the state level. Because in Inglewood, all the schools were performing below the state level. And he's saying that in order to compete in the world, you have to have education. That's the foundation. So I think my dad, is he's giving back through mentoring and mentor programs and baseball teams. So I ran with him from the time I was 3, still my best buddy. So I saw this. So I was bred that way. And my name means image of my father. So I do everything that he does, but just in a different way.
Oh, wow. That sounds like an amazing parent. I love that that was the gift he gave you and to the other kids in the neighborhood. Wow. You get up extra early. You spend the first 2 or 3 hours of your day. Is this every day doing your mobile dentistry?
So we do it 3 times a week.
Okay.
Sometimes my brothers do it because my brothers are dentists too.
I love that. Your mom goes to the dentist now?
Yeah, she does. She does. She tells me, I'm still a little scared of the dentist, but you know, I trust you.
I love that story so much. I love it. So what is it like working with these children, daycare children? How do you make them feel safe? How do you encourage them? And what kind of results and responses have you seen?
First of all, when you first meet them, you don't want to start talking about dentistry. You start giving them a high five, let them know who you are, know that you are the tooth counter, and you ask them how many times they brush and do they know what flossing is. And by that time, they begin to become your friend, because I play rock, paper, scissors with them, play different games. I talk about Paw Patrol, PJ Masks, all the shows they look at. So now they're looking at me like, oh, they can let their guards down. And then we make sure that the equipment we use is noise-free. We used to have equipment with noise, and that was scaring them. So ever since we converted to everything electrical without the air-driven stuff, they're not as scared. And as well as some of the daycares, they have autistic kids, so I wanted to get rid of the noise so that we can actually treat them as well. But they very, very well. We have a lot of props where we give them and we show them what we're going to do, and we let them do it on the dinosaur with the teeth. So it eases their anxiety, and they're excited to hop in the chair a lot of the times.
Every night we
have one or two that, you know, will cry, and eventually we'll win them over.
I love that so much. I think it's great. My kids have been going since they were that age, where all you pretty much do is count and teach them to brush and all that fun stuff. Have you seen any, I don't know how to ask this question, direct results? Like, I assume you go back to the same places, you see these kids repeatedly. How do you know? Obviously, it's just a really wonderful gift thing that you do, but how do you know that it's connecting and impacting with these kids? What's the feedback you're getting?
Because we're not only educating the kids, but we're educating the daycare teachers and the daycare owners. And a lot of them have implemented a toothbrushing program. So what that program looks like is they're brushing once or twice even at the daycare. And as long as you're brushing your teeth every 24 hours thoroughly, you really don't have to really worry about cavities.
Okay, listeners, don't stop brushing your teeth twice a day. Come on now. Even though the dentist just told you that, don't stop brushing your teeth twice.
No, because you may miss a spot. You always want to brush twice. I was just saying from the perspective of some of these kids wasn't brushing at home at all.
Yeah.
So the daycare that have the brushing program, we see less kids with cavities.
I love that. So they're literally brushing their teeth in the classroom.
Yes.
That's great. I think that's brilliant, actually. One of the other things that you do that we mentioned earlier, but I just think is so incredible, is every year you mentor 10 African-American dental students. Do I have that right?
Yes.
So how do they find you, and how do you support them?
Some of it is financially. Some of it is, with all of them, it's just the pure mentoring, talking them through the process, whether they're applying to dental school. If they're in dental school, I'm talking them through the politics and how to get through this and how to keep believing in themselves.
I've had,
like, this is hard. You know, I want to quit. And I have to explain to them, hey, you know, I grew up in Inglewood. We're from the same area. I grew up with nothing. You put your pants on just like me. You breathe just like me. We're all God's children. You have it inside you. You got to just dig deeper. You got to meditate. So I have to be the super coach to coach them. And then I have to follow up the next day, say, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's getting better. And I keep following up with them, not just to make it just at one time to correct the problem, but make sure corrective action is taken to make sure that whatever issue is solved.
I love that. Yeah, there's a deep level of accountability there that really helps people grow.
Yes. I have a couple hygienists that have went back to dental school just because, and I'm mentoring them, so it's interesting.
That's great. I'm curious, because this is something I do a lot of work in this space and I speak on, and I've written a couple books on it. Do you ever work with them on developing a gratitude practice? Do you have a gratitude practice yourself?
No, I haven't, but I'll be more than...
I know. I would love to talk with you more about it in general. So I'm certified in positive psychology. And
wow.
What... Yeah, thanks. I think you mentioned meditation, so I really think this will connect with you. One of the things, the only things that's been proven to actually increase happiness and well-being, overall well-being, is developing a gratitude practice. It reduces anxiety, stress, and depression, and even your risk of heart failure. But what really, it has this ability to reframe your mindset and keep you focused on what's going well instead of what's not going well, and that you have the support system around you, that you have the tools and resources you need to grow and be successful. And I would love to gift some of my gratitude journals to some of your mentors. Can we make that happen?
Yes, we definitely can make that happen, because that is exactly what I needed to hear this morning, because that's the thing. They're always talking about what's going wrong. And yeah. I'm like, no, you're in dental school. You know how many people want to be in dental school? No, you graduated from college. You're applying to dental school. You know, you have to look at what's going right.
That's right.
But I never thought about it as a positive, a gratitude practice. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, when we wrap up the interview, I'll get the information and we'll get those books over to you. I would love to share them. I'm really proud of the work that it's doing, and it does make a tremendous difference. And you'll have to come back and let us know if it's creating positive change and impact for you and those that you're mentoring. I love that.
Yes, I'm going to use that with all my team members and employees too.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. So you grew up in what sounds like a really fantastic family, despite difficulties. Your dad just sounds like the greatest human, and your mom sounds pretty awesome too. What in this process for you, getting out of the community, going to school, going to dental school, starting your own business, what has been the biggest struggle?
The biggest struggle, I guess my dad built me in a way where I didn't see it as a struggle or a challenge, because the reverse side or the flip side of that coin was poverty. It's being broke and not being able to take yourself and not being able to take care of your parents who sacrificed everything for you and your 8 brothers and sisters. So as far as going through the dental school process, the application process, I actually had great support, and I never got test anxiety because I guess I was practicing the gratitude. The flip side of that coin was you could be broke and not be able to help people.
Yeah.
So as far as my struggles is concerned, was I would say adjusting to the fast pace of dental school And the fact that sometimes we're taking 38 semester credit hours in one quarter, and you
wow,
8 to 5 every day. And after you get out of school, you eat, and then you have to learn dentistry. So you're going to the lab, practicing on how to control your handpiece. You also have to learn all the sciences, and majority of the classes they take in medical school, we have taken dental school. So you have like a double load all in one. So I think it was a struggle of just getting adjusted to that, and team no sleep, team no social. But as far as everything else, I'm a big people person. I was vice president of my class at the University of Michigan. So it wasn't really a struggle because everyone liked me. So socially, I was good. I was scared at first because I'm a big city individual that went to Ann Arbor, which is a small, nice town. However, I grew up in a very underprivileged and poor family. And then I went to school with people that really were privileged. They were driving.
Oh, yeah.
And, but my dad taught us not to be into nothing else but the human being itself. So I really don't. Cars don't excite me. You know, money don't really excite me to that.
Yeah. It's more what you could do with it.
Yes, more what you can do with it that's exciting me. So that really didn't play a role. I was just blown away that a kid 23 years old had a Range Rover and $500,000 townhouse, you know? Like, yeah, my dad bought this. I was like, wow, that's great. That's great.
It's great. It's great. I hope that that friend of yours uses their privilege for good. I'll tell you that. What down the line has been the greatest silver lining or the best surprise?
The surprise is in my city, which is Chicago, how many people know me and know about the good that I do? They don't know that, you know, they know I'm a dentist, but they know the great things I do. So I see people on the street, they're like, hey, that's the guy that gave the battered woman a new smile on Windy City Live because we were a woman that was battered, abused, got her teeth knocked out. That's the guy who gives the free care to the kids. So I'm like, wow, because initially all my life and still to this day, I wasn't really a big social media guy, like posting what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do because that's what's in me to do it. Too much is given, much is expected. But then my PR person, she was like, hey, people need to know what you do because those type of people want to support your business. It's not about you just flashing it. So
that's right. Yeah. It's not bragging if you can back it up. So Muhammad Ali said, right?
Right. And I was like, wow, I never thought about it like that. So I began to post it a little bit more. And like a lot of the patients that come to our practices because of what we do on a daily basis. And then they know that we're treating whole people, not just teeth. We're about the mental aspect of the patient, their overall health, how it impacts their medical health, their heart, their diabetes, and how that works.
I truly love all of that. And you just like kind of casually threw out a really beautiful gift to everybody who's listening. We are, especially women, and often I think maybe in certain communities as well, taught just what you said, like you don't want to be a braggart. Don't talk about what's going well. Don't tell everybody what you're doing that's really successful. And I do think it gives other people permission to grow and to trust themselves and to try new things. And also, yeah, it connected you with people who want to support the work you're doing. I know for me personally, I would much rather go to any professional when I know that person is invested emotionally in making our community stronger and giving back to other people. So for the listeners, this is another wonderful reason why it is okay for you to talk about what you're doing that's good. People, the world wants to know.
Yes.
I love that.
Took me a long time to figure that out.
Yeah, it does take a long time to figure that out, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think shifted in you that you were finally ready for that to be your truth instead of hiding and not wanting to quote unquote brag?
My PR person, they said, you're always going to have those haters, meaning that people that are going to have something negative to say.
Sure.
But you also have those people that really want or need to hear a good story. You also have those professionals that need to see that it's okay to give back. You can still have a good life and give back. And that's what helped me. And I said that, yes, it's okay for me to show that I'm doing great in our community, and hopefully help hold other people accountable that have been privileged to have a dental degree, a medical degree, a pharmacy degree, whatever it may be, to reach back and help the next human being, to reach back and help the next individual, to not only eat off the plate, but make the plate bigger so more people can eat, which brings a more functional society, which brings a more dynamic country.
I love every bit of that. I had the absolute privilege of seeing Lena Waithe speak. Do you know who Lena Waithe is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. She's an actress, for those of you that don't know this. And she's an incredible human. One of the first out LGBTQ people and women of color to win Emmys. She's very cool. But she said that she feels like it is an obligation to put your hand down and help somebody else come up, to help people raise up. And it sounds like that's the way you feel as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
I love that. I enjoyed when I was learning more about you, prepping for this interview. Not only are you just a really cool guy who has this incredible business and gives back to the children and mentors and supports everyone around you, you also make time. And this is a topic that I find really fascinating because I'm growing in this space myself, to be an avid reader. Can you tell us why that's important to you and how you build it into your life?
So I build it into my life. Instead of listening to the radio, I only listen to podcasts that can enrich me, and audiobooks, self-help books, specifically on self-care and business.
Okay. Do you ever read for pleasure, though?
No, I do. I also read for pleasure. So okay. I download the audiobook, and I have the book itself downloaded either on Kindle or iBooks. So I spend a lot of time in the car a lot of times driving to these daycares. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'm driving 45 minutes. So in 45 minutes, I'm not listening to music. I'm listening to The Compound Effect. I'm trying to learn.
It's a great book, The Compound Effect.
Right. So that's what I do. And then when I stop and, I'm at the house, I try to read with my kids, my daughter specifically. She see I have a nightlight reading, so she asked me for one. Now she reads at night. She's 6 years old, and she likes to read 30 minutes before she goes to bed. So I always try to read 20 to 30 minutes before I go to bed and end my night that way, versus looking at, something negative on the news or reality show.
I love that.
A positive state as possible, so I know I'm not letting people mess with my subconscious.
That's a little gift there for everyone, too. I know we just talked about this. I have a Facebook group called Intentionally Brave Entrepreneurs, and we just talked about what do you do right before bed. And there's so much gift in shutting all the electronics down, reading, spending quiet time with yourself before you go to sleep. I also am a big fan of writing out any sort of list or tasks for the next day so that I can release it and not think about it at night. Do you have any daily grounding rituals that really keep you steady?
I just meditate and let's go back to the gratitude practice. I guess I do. When I meditate, I'm also thinking about things that I'm thankful for.
Yeah. I love that.
How I can make a difference in somebody's life today or enrich my life more by enriching other people's lives.
I love every bit of that. It does enrich our own lives when we give back to others and help other people rise up. It is the gift that keeps on giving. Just going back to book real quick, I'm curious, what would you say is your all-time favorite book?
It's a few of them. It's definitely a few of them. I would say I like Atomic Habits. It's a bunch of them, actually.
It's hard to pick, I know.
Yeah, because I like Extreme Ownership, because all of them, I take a little bit of all of them and I try to be a better me, a better boss, a better human being, a better spouse, a better son, a better friend. And all these books, they pour into you different things. And these books also allow me to be a better mentor, because I'm reading these things and I'm seeing what's going on in somebody's life. And I'm able to say, you have to think about, if you're doing this every day, how that compounded, like money compounded, how it can affect your life. So it's a few books. Four Levels of Execution. I like Extreme Ownership, Compound Effect. Making Money is Killing Your Business.
That's awesome.
I just read. But those are some of my favorite books that I would say any entrepreneur or just anyone in general should read and follow some of those principles in there, and your life will instantly get better within 6 months.
I love that. What a declaration you've made, but I completely agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I am curious, as you've done some of these really extraordinary things and continue to just succeed in really magical ways in your life, how do you celebrate successes, either big or small?
So I celebrate successes. Normally, I celebrate with some friends or some family. Normally, the time I'm celebrating is my birthday. So this birthday, we rented a house in the wilderness with all my family. We all came and we stayed in one house, which was beautiful because it took me back to my childhood where we stayed in a 900 square feet house and it was 9 of us.
So wow.
All the family and their kids, and we rented this Airbnb. And those are the type of things I like to celebrate, because my dad and mom, when they walked in the house, they drove up to this Airbnb. They're like, wow. I was stepping foot in a house this size. And I'm telling them, me neither. My real house is nowhere near this size.
Absolutely. Well, you don't need to house that many people, I assume, in your real house.
No, not at all. So it was just beautiful just seeing them smile and say, man, I can't believe we're so proud of you, son. We're so proud of the job that you did or do on a daily basis, making sure your brothers and sisters made it, making sure the community is good. We love the way you give back. That's what mattered, because I always wanted my parents to be proud of me because I saw the sacrifice they made. So that's one way I celebrate, and or I like to go to like a jazz lounge. I love live music.
Yeah, so me too.
Operas and jazz lounge. So when I get a chance, that's how I really celebrate.
That's really great. And I would venture to say, so one of the things that I teach people to do is to invite more celebration into their lives. I believe that that leads to more brave choices and bigger successes across the board. But I'll bet you don't even realize some of the things you celebrate. Because my guess is when you sit with a preschooler and their teeth are clean, you give them a high five. You tell them they've done a good job and you ask them how it feels. Do you ever say to the kids, how does it feel to have done such a good job with your teeth?
Yes.
Right?
We positive reinforcement all the time. You're great. Oh my God. How many times you brush? Twice, doctor. Yes, perfect. Give me a pound.
And that is celebration. You're teaching
right.
them to celebrate the things that they're doing to be successful and healthy in their lives. And so the more we can invite celebration and recognize that that's what we're doing, I just think we grow so much faster.
Wow. Yes, that was deep, actually, because people around me tell me I don't celebrate enough. I don't do enough for myself. I'm always worrying about other people. And I don't really celebrate me. And you just said that. Wow. So this is perfect. Perfect.
I'm glad to hear that. I love it. Well, as we get close to wrapping up this conversation, you're down the street from me. I would love to meet in person. I know you're a very busy man, but maybe we can set aside some time to grab a coffee together.
Yes.
Because I love your energy. I love what you're doing and I'd like to be a part of it. But I would love to know, what is your favorite charitable organization to support?
It's Shy Gives Back. So Shy Gives Back is it's a non-for-profit organization. They focus on homeless, kids in shelter, battered women. They focus on making sure the teachers are funded properly, even outside of what the school give them, to have the proper school material so that the kids can get the best education possible.
That is awesome. So folks, they will be our charity of the week, as you know. And every week I ask you this, and I really mean it. I hope you will check them out. Find them on social media, like, share. If you have resources, time, money to give, do that. But at the very least, share it with other people so that they can get a little love and support the people they want to support. I have loved this so much. Obana, will you share your three words with us one last time?
You gotta have it. You have to inspiration, humility, and loving.
Yeah, I believe we touched base on those words. You are definitely inspiring. And I really honor within you the humility that you have, but now also the ability to share the incredible work you're doing so that other people can get involved and help grow that work. And you come from such a beautiful, loving space. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend some time with us here today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, this was such a gem all across the board. I hope that you're going to go out and find ways to live a little bit more intentionally and bigger, and find ways to give back and grow yourself and the people around you. This is such a fun conversation. I'd love to hear what you think about this show or anything you'd like to see happening here on The Brave Files. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205 and share that information. And if you do not already know about our Patreon page, we would love your support. Patreon is a website that connects creatives and artists with those who like to support the work they do. And I would love to invite you to join our Brave movement by becoming a supporter. Just visit patreon.com/bravefiles and find a tier that works for you. We have all sorts of levels and different ways to get involved, and there's awesome swag and cool things you can be a part of as well. This is Heather Vickery thanking you so much for being here and reminding you today and always to go out and choose bravely. The Brave Files is proudly supported by Audible. If you enjoy listening to podcasts, you're sure to love listening to your favorite books on Audible. Get your free 30-day trial complete with a credit for a free audiobook download today simply by visiting audibletrial.com/thebravefiles. Again, that's visiting audibletrial.com/thebravefiles. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes, or get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. And we'd love to know what you think. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery & Co. Success Coaching, coaching that helps you maintain a life well-lived and a business well-run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music is produced by Matt Lewis. Follow him on Instagram at Matt M. Music or visit his website, theunionband.com. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to our associate producer, Kim Statler. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.